Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Happy Tuesday to you guys. I am your host, Lynn Parrott, and you are listening to, for the next half an hour at least, Reflections with Lynn. Today, we're going to talk about Reflections with Lynn as a relationship chat for those of you who have just tuned in to the show. I do have a nice little group of following last week. Oh, my God. I was just telling my husband that we were up to, like, somebody archived it, like, 95 times on the show. I'm like, yeah. I wonder if there's an award for Blog Talk Radio. Anyway, let's get right into it. As you guys know, I'm always talking about my book, Tribulations of Love. And so I do a lot of studying on relationships and love and married. I thank God that I've been married for a long, long time. Like, I've been with the same person almost as long as the Constitution. For 30 years. And so, and I thank God for that. I joke about it, but I know a lot of people who have been in and out of relationships have had for marriages within a 30-year span. So I thank God for the longevity of my marriage. But I also thank God for the ministry that puts me in, because it shows that whatever tenacity or whatever it is that God has blessed us with, we, you know, as me being a Titus woman, teaching the younger woman, and my husband being a deacon, showing the guys how to, you know, building a church, building around the church, or just being a man of God, period, not so much even having to do with being a deacon, and for us just loving each other. I had someone tell me the other day that they really respect the relationship that I have with my husband and the way that our marriage is, and I saw a prayer that just pretty much said from the heart of a wife that, God, I want my marriage to show your unconditional love. And so been writing Tribulation of Love Book 3, and in this one I want to kind of show some growth in my couple. They've been together for, this will be going into their third year, and they've been together for a while, and so I wanted to show we did through the good and the bad, where they had their little incidents, and they had to grow through their first part of their first year of marriage, which you guys know, we talked about that last week, is sometimes can be really, really difficult. I can't really remember. I think mine was really blissful. I think it depends. But and so that second year, the book is about learning the language. And so now that I know your language, and I'm saying that it's going to just take a year or two to get through this, guys. Marriage is a commitment. It's a lifelong scenario. It's not like you graduate from it and then nothing else happens. You want to continue to move on and make it better. And so in doing so, you have to do maintenance. You have to constantly check and make sure that things are, all your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed, and that you feel are in this thing for what you came into it for at the beginning. Okay? And so all of that intro goes into what we're going to talk about today, love and respect, the vows God requires from your marriage. I, so-and-so, take you, so-and-so, to be my wedded wife or husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. And hereto I pledge you my faithfulness. The exchange of wedding vows is such a very romantic moment, and often the perfect place to express your feelings towards your fiancé. Each partner is writing their thoughts prior to their marriage, they're getting it together. And it's not just for the moment, but for the start of their new lives together. These words are carefully stringed together to make a profound statement of your love for each other. Your personal consent to this commitment for all to hear. How much do they mean to you? What does God require of your vow? Ephesians 5, you guys know I love Ephesians and Ecclesiastes and Galatians. Ephesians 5 speaks to what God wants couples to commit to heart. he speaks clearly to the husband, showing the wife love and the wife showing her husband respect. The wedding vows, love and respect, the only requirement God holds us to. So today we're going to be talking about that topic, those vows. The vows that I said earlier are just like a generic set of vows that if you go down to the courthouse, or if you go to a chapel in Vegas, and I was like, I want to get married. And so they have these vows that pretty much are generic, but they are supposed to mean pretty much the same thing. And it's pretty much saying that I promise to be there for you, which is cool, which is great. And that's what we want. I want somebody to, from this day forward, do anything, through good hair, bad hair, through, loss of job, through if I get sick, if my toe has to come out, if you say you love me, you're going to love me and cherish me, which means I'm going to always be in your eyesight. But in this particular generic set of vows, it talks about love and cherish, but it does not say respect. I mean, of course, this is, I here to pledge you my faithfulness, which means I ain't going to cheat on you, which here's what I'm trying to understand. I understand why you have to put that in there, because this is part of a contract. But, 11. But, you hear him giggling. But, yeah, I think at that point when y'all get married, I don't know if I'm going to have to remind you that I ain't going to be with nobody else. I mean, but, if that's what you got to do. But so, yeah, so I pledge you my faithfulness. And so I guess that is good for grounds of divorce if you just do that. I mean, marriage, you guys, as I've been talking about lately, marriage is so you love someone by choice. I choose to love you, and I've fallen in love with you. We have attributes that are similar, or I enjoy what you do. I am fond of your spirit. I think that you have the same goals. And so now my love for you, I want to really explore it. I want this to go on for as long as we can make it go on. And so then we date and we, go through the scenario and we court. I don't know if people feel court, but that's what you should do. Should court. You should figure out people before you actually ask them to be a part of your life forever. But so then let's act like that's what we do. And so you go through that, and then you decide to marry them. I love when a person says that God told me that was going to be my wife and stuff. That's a whole nother point. But but you make the choice to marry a person. That and the person that you say that you marry, no one can tell you why you did it. You say you fell in love and they love you, and that's what's good. And I'm happy for you. But what I want to, I want to understand if we all have the same one concept in mind, and that is when you decide that you're going to get married and make it a lifelong thing. I'm going to ask, if first person that calls me, I promise you I'm going to ask you this, because I'm just still curious about what the idea of marriage is nowadays as opposed to what it has been back in the day. Back in the day, you got married to you were there. You were going to be with Uncle JoJo and Auntie Bird were together for life. And Uncle JoJo could have had 15 girlfriends, and Auntie Bird knew it, but, that's just, they were there for life. That's what it was. Now, they like popcorn, microwave popcorn, or you mess up the first time, and I'm out of here. I want to get that idea of what people are thinking. But so I think that we need to work to make this commitment the best experience for the person that you say you love, the person that you chose to be with for the rest of your life. So the book that I've been reading lately, Love and Respect, is written by Dr. Emerson Eggerich, and it's it's a really good book. It comes a lot of married couple ministries youth that I'm going to actually talk to my senior pastor, Reverend Robert McCotra, over at New Dimensions Church, 5440 West Gladys, which is where my husband and I attend, and see if it's something that our married couple ministry would like to do, because it comes along with the workbook also, and it hits on some very key points, primarily the one that says that it's based around Ephesians 5:33, but every husband must love his wife as he loves himself, and wives should respect their husbands. Dr. Emerson believes that women are wired to need unconditional love and that men need to feel unconditional respect. I posted that comment out to Facebook a little while before I got on air, and I'm just curious on how some of the brothers feel about that, or some of the sisters. You know, that's one of the things where, even growing up, you know, that's the one thing that a guy would say, you know, don't disrespect me. That respect scenario is, and I can see that a man would want a woman to adore him to the point where there's nothing but the highest of respect for him. And I do see this point that the woman, I don't see us being wired like that, but I can see us needing or wanting unconditional love. I think that once a person has these qualities, if you love me unconditionally, first of all, I think that when you start to love, if a man loves a woman unconditionally, if he is pouring her, genuinely loving her, he's going to get that reciprocated back. What comes from the heart usually goes to the heart, and so that's going to come back to her. Same thing with the respect scenario. If you are respecting your husband, and less women, sisters, it's not weak to respect your husband. It actually is lining up with the way that God wants mankind to be. And it does not show a weakness. It doesn't. It actually, there is power behind that. But if you have that level of respect where you guys can understand each other and you understand him, conflict resolution, to me, will be easier. And then you can find a biblical stance to how you resolve your conflict or resolution. I mean, Ephesians, again, Paul was speaking to some people. And in this verse, in some of the versions of the Bible, the Greek word for love, agape, was used in this sentence. And, I mean, in this Philippians 5:33. I mean, Ephesians 5:33, I'm sorry. The word agape was used. And agape is unconditional love. And so, that being the case, if he's speaking to unconditional love for the men to love their wives unconditionally, why not would we want to unconditionally respect our husband? Another writer of scripture, Peter, and I believe it's Peter 3:1, I believe that's where it is, where Peter is talking about unconditional respect and in the sense of the husband and the wife. So, you know, it's biblical, the whole love and respect scenario. And actually what's funny is that's really what God is looking for in the relationship that we call our marriage. He's looking for people to do just that, to love and respect each other. So a lot of the vows, when we are rewriting our own vows, although we take the generic stand of I take you to be my wife, my husband, blah, 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 normally there is a partner that says to love, to honor, and to obey. And so a couple of reasons why that's in there. Well, one of the reasons primarily is because biblically that is what God wants you to do. You can call in if you want. I'm going to be on for another 15 minutes, but you can call in to 347-215-9556 if you want to be a part of this, if you are enjoying the conversation, if you just want to say something, if you have something you want to chime in on, if, you know, you've been having some issues, maybe you don't want to say your name or whatever, and you just want to kind of air out some stuff, let's talk. That's what this is all about. So some of the points that I wrote about love and respect both play hand in hand. If the husband is going to unconditionally love his wife, and she is going to unconditionally respect him, there are some key points or some key takeaways that we need to pull off of that. One of the ways that you can show unconditional love and unconditional respect to each other is, you know, communication. Talk about everything. Somebody was saying, there's a book out there that says, don't sweat the small stuff. Sometimes you need to sweat the small stuff, because if you leave something small alone long enough and it really is an issue that you're having, trust me, it won't be small anymore. If you one sock and you don't say anything, and then the next week is 10 socks and you don't say anything, but in your spirit you're not happy with it, divorce will be based on you and those socks. When all you had to do from the first time was pick the socks up, make a joke about it, resolve that either you're going to be the one picking up his socks or that you give him a remedy, give him a sock bag, a bucket or something, make it a joke. If it's small enough to where it can be rated on the chart as, you know, non-valid or whatever, small, don't let it grow, because, again, we talked about spiritual warfare. That will be the issue that Satan will use to come in and to start to shake up your marriage. So you don't want, and nothing is small in relationships, nothing. I'm going to get my husband some cough drops because he seemed to cough every time I have my show. That's a small thing, but I'm going to get him some cough drops. So, moving right along. I wrote down here to set core values for yourself and stick to them. And then if changes need to be made, change yourself. Respect who your mate is and know that you can't change them. That is extremely important in love and respect. First of all, I fell in love with you. And if you date and if you court and if you do this the right way, when you fall in love with a person, their guards will come down. When you genuinely love and they know that you really love them, their guards will come down. And so it's not like, you know, how some of these commercials, some of these TV shows where you get the man gets the woman home and then she starts taking off stuff and then, you know, she don't have no hair and he's in the high eyelashes. And you got to let them know that. You got to let them know that, you know, you wear 18 inches of yaki and you get it flipped over every 2 months or whatever. You need to let them know. If that's not love, that's straight up respect, because somebody going to have to pay for that hair. But, because that's funny. You go home and you come like, dude, I thought I married somebody with some hair. You bought anybody. But it's good. We still love each other. But you set core values for yourself and stick to them. And what I mean by that primarily is, if I know that, let's give an example about my talk show. So if I know that I have, you know, I want my quiet on the set going on at a certain time, if things start getting to in here in my house where it's, you know, if, say my husband does online classes, if his online class starts at the same time that my radio show is on, then it's easier for me to make that adjustment than to get mad at him and fuss about, you know what I'm saying? So if it's something that I've set my values, if things need to change, I'm flexible with changing, and it makes it easier to resolve this conflict. You get it? I mean, it's better to just fix and work on a situation than to constantly nag and go about it like that. You know what? They've upgraded this radio station, and these lights are really cute that flash on here. I just a caller just popped on and just threw me all the way off. I'm gonna get to you in 2 seconds on my 2481. I got you. I know that number from somewhere too. And so back to respect. So respect means not being so critical. Thinking about how you will feel before, how would you feel if that person said to you what you're saying to them? Respect says that I'm not going to nag and I'm not going to complain and drain the energy out the relationship because I respect you and I love you. I'm going to get this call 2481, and you are live on Reflections with Lynn. We're talking about love and respect. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm just tuning in, so I didn't really catch the topic yet. But
oh yeah, we.
Hey,
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Good. You getting in your car? I hear that background noise.
I turned it down. So we're
so
talking
no,
about respect.
We're talking about love and respect, and as it equates to the vows that God requires from your marriage. Yep, you want something you want to toss in?
No, you know, I just I gotta do everything, you know.
Is that respect? You
know,
that's
you
cute.
Know what? I know in the beginning, you know, I was all that submit to me, but I don't think I ever been that type of guy that just wanted to make all the decisions, you know. I respect the fact that you're still an individual and that you have certain things that you do that I don't necessarily
right.
want to do or have to do. So,
right.
for instance, my wife goes out all the time. She likes to party, likes to hang out. And I'm not a in-the-club type of guy. So as long as you can respect the decision that you're making by coming in at a decent time, then I don't have to fuss and complain about it. You know, we
right.
had a rocky start. She used to like to go out and stay out as long as she wanted to, but... You know, we came to understanding that that's not suitable. And,
right.
you know, so when she wants to go out, I don't hold her back. Just make sure you come home at a certain decent amount of time.
And so do you think it got better the longer that you, because how long you guys been married?
Going to be 7 years.
So do you think it got better the longer you
not.
Were married?
You know, as an individual, you have your own character traits. And I know adjusting to somebody else's is one of the biggest what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know.
So adjusting to somebody else could be a little harder than just is that what
yeah,
you're saying?
Yeah, because you don't want to lose yourself.
Exactly.
You don't want to lose your individuality. Let me say that much. When
okay.
you're being whole with someone else, you know. You
okay.
Still, like, well, I used to, you know, because I used to go bowling a lot, and I realized that in order for me to enjoy this for myself and my boys, even for my spouse to be comfortable with that, she ended up coming with me a lot, learn how to bowl. So now, if I can't,
right.
if I don't go bowl with the guys, then hey, I can go bowl with my wife.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Maybe it's a compromise on everybody's part that you got to make when you marry, just so you can have that respect factor, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. I like that. I'm going to put you on hold for a minute. We have another call of 6901. I'm going to come to you, and thank you so much. I like that. I may come back and ask you another question before we go off the air because I want to clear this. So hold on for 2 seconds if you don't mind.
I'm glad no more.
Hi, this is Lynn Parrott, and you are live on Reflections with Lynn. We're talking about love and respect, the vow God requires from your marriage. And you are, last four of your numbers, 6901. How are you today? What is your name?
Oh, my name is Ivan. I'm calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hi, Ivan from Oklahoma. How are you?
I was just flipping through, you know, I was flipping through the channels and I saw the subject, and I'm not married, but I am preparing to cross the threshold.
Okay. Okay. How long have you been engaged or courting? Do you guys still court? I'm just really curious about that whole courting thing. How long have you been engaged?
The courting process, if it's done properly, is very, very, very important. Because you have to ask all the right questions. And one of the things, now for me and her, there's a 12-year difference between her and myself.
Mm-hmm.
She's 12 years younger than myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that, I mean, she's a mature woman, very mature.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things, I'm 48, she's 36.
Okay.
And so one of the things that I've had to learn to deal with is every now and then the age gap shows up.
Right.
Every now and then. And it's not because she's immature. There are certain things, there are certain stages in my life that I've already been there.
Okay.
And she hasn't yet. And so what I've had to do in the when you're talking about the respect is respect the fact that, of course, I've chosen to be with a woman 12 years younger than myself. And my mother has hit me with it. We were dealing with an issue here about 6 months ago. And I couldn't understand why she couldn't understand.
Wow.
And so I talked, and I'm not a stubborn brother. I'm very open-minded. I don't think I know everything and all that.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm a knucklehead every now and then. I'm going to keep it real. And so, I'm a humble man though.
Okay.
Because my mother is very wise. My mother's 73 years old. She's an ordained minister. Been through a whole lot in her life, so far wiser than I could ever even imagine being. And one of the things that she told me, she said, "Let me tell you something." She said, "You have to realize that even though she's a grown woman, and she's mature," she said, "there are certain things that she just ain't going to get right now."
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be with her, she said, if you're going to be with that woman, you love the woman, and I know that you do, you're going to have to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
She said, sometimes there's certain things you got to let them come into it on their own. And I don't want to say what the issue was at this particular time, but it was an issue because I like to protect her virtue no matter what. No matter who I'm talking
to.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, that's because you love her. That's love. Yeah.
Right. But
that's what
but
it is. Right.
I couldn't understand why she couldn't understand. And it was.
Right.
And it really, really aggravated the hell out of me.
Right.
To the point where I didn't talk to her for a couple of days.
So let me ask you, do you understand now why she didn't understand?
Yeah, because of the way my mother. You know, have me look at it from another point of view. I have to wait. See, the thing about it is, my mother said it like this. She said, "Son, it don't matter if you don't get it. It only matters when she said when she gets it, then you can have that conversation. But until she gets it, leave it alone."
Exactly.
She said, "Because it's going to drive a wedge."
I totally agree. I was going to say, I tell you, your mother is very wise. I totally agree with her because, again, a couple of weeks ago I had a show on spiritual warfare and in the marriage. And what you don't want is, the reason I asked you, did you guys in essence revive this is because you definitely want to, if it's important enough to you that you need to know why she doesn't understand, if that is important enough to you, then it's just a matter of, again, like your mom said, time, but you also need closure. You need to resolve that because what will happen is it'll be like the sock on the floor. It'll be the sock is on the floor now. Oh, I don't understand why she doesn't understand. Then
here's the thing, there's a bigger power to stop. Here's the thing about her, though, is I know she's not the kind of woman that just tries to be stubborn and have her. If she says she didn't get it, it's because she really didn't. Not because she wasn't trying to have her. Or she was trying to have her way, not because she was trying to be stubborn, you know. And I had a moment, and it hurt her because I wouldn't speak to her for a couple of days, but I didn't want to say nothing that I would regret later on either.
Right.
And so she had to accept the fact. I apologized to her for not talking to her for a couple of days, but I wanted her to understand that I didn't talk to you for a couple of days because I love you enough not to want to hurt your feelings no matter what. Now, I know that not talking to you for a couple of days hurts your feelings, but I'd rather your feelings be hurt not talking to you a couple of days versus me saying something that I will regret later on.
Do you believe that women are wired to need unconditional love and men feel that are wired to need unconditional respect? Do you believe that?
I say that one more time.
Women are wired physically, that we are wired emotionally, that we need unconditional love. We crave unconditional love, and that men want unconditional respect.
Well, we wired different. But see, love has conditions, though. Love has conditions. Love has conditions, because this is what I mean by that. In proper context.
Yeah,
because
I would. Right. Exactly.
Because
ahead,
you can't. If
that.
I say, if you say you love me, and you go out and give yourself to another man, you can't do that and say you love me. So love has conditions. It has rules. There's rules to that unconditional love.
So then I would say that is not love. I mean, that is not respect. That's not because respect says to me that you know that this is going to hurt me. And so,
right.
And not only that, so if I know that this is going to hurt you, I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt you. Because I honor you like that. And so
right. And so
for me to go and give myself to somebody else, not only does it say that there is some question about what level or where your choice to love me has stopped, but it says that you don't value us enough to keep our intimacy within our circle. You understand what I'm saying? So a lot of times I think that, you know, there are a lot of reasons why people do what they do. And you know, people want to say, well, you can't say it came from childhood. You can't. Yes, you can, because where you are grounded and where your foundation is, if you are in a household where there is disrespect, where the father doesn't respect the mother and the mother doesn't love the husband or however they're, then you're not going to understand that concept. And so if that's being planted, if that has been where you have been planted, and then you have been brought up, and even when God redeems you and changes you, if you don't know that this is what has been happening, you will condition yourself to do the same thing. You understand what I'm saying? So some people don't understand the truth. That's why again, the courting is required, because I need to know who you are. I need to know what type of person. I need to know if you're capable of loving me like I want to be loved. And I need to know if you're capable of understanding our same level of respect. And then I need to be honest with myself. Can I accept what you give me? Can I accept that and make that a lifelong, not just we're going to see what happened next week? No, lifelong, because if I cannot make peach cobbler the way you like your peach cobbler, and if that's after the end of the game, you got to have your peach cobbler, and I can't do it, you're going to either have to give me a chance to learn how to make this peach cobbler, teach me how to make it, or that might be a deal breaker. You understand what I'm saying? And I just use that
issues. Well, see, the thing about it is, that's the beauty in the courting process, because, see, when you marry somebody, you marry everything that you ain't just marrying her or him. You marrying that family, too, and whatever that family. See, that was a sister that I was giving a look before I met this sister. That didn't have no male guidance. The whole family was ran by women, and I hurried up and got away from her.
Yeah.
Because
was
no men in the family, and I refused to have a relationship with a woman that didn't have no male guidance. People's like, why you leave her alone? Because there wasn't no men in her family.
Right. And she does, and she would have never gotten how to respect you. And let me say this, unless the Holy Spirit brought her to that, because, you know, I'm trying to think of who that was in the Bible that God told to marry the hooker. And not saying this for a hooker, but I'm just saying there are instances where there may have been a purpose for people to do that. But if that's not what you like, if that's not what you like, and if that's not balancing with you, then, because
well,
again,
see,
what
her,
you want to do.
With this sister, I've had to be very patient, because I'm the first man, according to her, See, she was used to men because she's very pretty. And
uh-huh.
so she was used to men falling. She called me first. Matter of fact, she saw what it was. We all go to this little spiritual gathering. And I met mm-hmm. her. And she, I met her mother and her aunt first, and then she came. They all from New York. They all migrated
mm-hmm.
here to Oklahoma about 15, 20 years ago, but she just came back in 2011. And so we were at this
okay.
little gathering where people from all different faiths come and just share knowledge and congregate with one another. Well, she heard me
okay.
speak. And so when she heard me speak, she actually went to, she said it's the first time she had ever done anything like this. She went to her aunt and asked her aunt for my phone number, and she called me.
Wow. Wow.
And so it was because, and so I asked her, I said, what was it about me that made you actually go to your aunt and get my phone number and want to call me? She said, I never heard a man speak the way you speak, with the confidence that you spoke with and with the surety of himself. She said, and I just wanted to find out more about you. She said, and I feel funny. I feel I'm kind of embarrassed, but she said, I just couldn't help myself. She said, I just wanted to know. I was like, wow. But I wouldn't even, you know what,
wow.
I wouldn't even give it, I wouldn't even pay her any attention. I mean, I've seen her. She's a beautiful woman. Of course, when you see her, you
huh.
think, okay, wow, she's pretty. But that's all I did.
Huh.
I've seen her, but I really wasn't giving her any thought like that. She called, mm. she called me. But one of the things that I've been dealing with this sister was, is she's been used to men falling all over her. And, you know, and I'm 48, and I didn't travel on the road. I used to be a bodyguard. I used to travel with
uh-huh.
Dog, Puff Daddy. So I done seen some of the most beautiful women a man can ever lay his eyes on in his lifetime. So how pretty a woman
uh-huh.
is, it's just she's just pretty to me. That doesn't mean it's nice, it's a plus, but that ain't enough for
uh-huh.
a man like me. And so
uh-huh.
I'm not saying she's not the kind of woman that just ties the ride on her beauty, but because that didn't do nothing for me like that, she had to get used to dealing with me straight up, and it's been a struggle for her. She admitted
uh-huh.
she said, I'm not used to, she made the mistake one time, and let me tell you what she did. She made the mistake one time, and she ain't never done it again. She got mad at me because she wanted me to do something, and I told her I don't want to do that. And so she said, well, don't call me, don't text me, don't do nothing. And see, with men, one thing you got to learn about men, real men, is we take what
uh-huh.
you say literally. So when you
right.
I said, when you told me, don't call you, don't text you,
right.
2 weeks went by. And so
right.
finally she called me. She said, so why you ain't called me? I said, what do you mean? She said, so I said, you told me don't call you, don't communicate with you at all. She said, so if I hadn't called you, we wasn't going to never speak again? I said, ever in life. And she never done that again. I said, that's your first and your last time that you can ever do that with me. Don't ever do that to me. And she's had to get used to that. She ain't been used to brothers dealing with her like that. So it's been a challenge for her. And so my mama told me, she said, son, tone it down some.
Yeah.
She said, feed it to us. She said, I'm not a hard man. I'm a no-nonsense man. I don't play.
Well, I'm just going to say to you, I don't know. So do you all have a date plan?
A
date plan?
What? Oh, we're going to do it on her birthday.
Okay, so it's going to be soon. Like, it's going to be this year.
Yeah. Going to be her birthday.
Okay.
She's born in December.
Okay, so she got me.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what I'm going to say because I got to get off the line because I went over like 3 minutes, but I love talking to you. But this is what I would like to say to you, that I totally agree with your mom. I would you do need to spoon feed her you because you are a little abrasive, but I would not hide who you are. I would not because. For one, she's going to need to know you. She's going to need to know her husband. She's going to need to know how she chooses to deal with when you are you. You understand what I'm saying? So I agree with the spoon feed, but if you show her you and she continues and says, I respect that, and you love her, you are meeting the requirements. As long as you love her the way that God says for you to love her, which is
mm-hmm.
Ephesians 5:33, but every husband must love his wife as he loves himself, and wife should respect her husband. You love her, and
yeah,
she respects
much.
You. You will work all that out, and there's no sense in coming in it. If you are a If you are a gorilla, don't come in here like a chimpanzee. Don't make me fall in love with a chimpanzee, and then in 3 months you turn to this. No. I need
see,
to see
you know
what
you
are. So
see, here's the thing, though. I only did that,
you.
Like, every now and then.
That's cool. But that's part of your characteristic is what I'm saying. And so you have to be honest to who you are. Because again, she can't change you, and you can't change her. You guys have to come together as you are, and make it happen. Stripes and spades, come on together. Let's make it a pattern. If that's what.
But let me say this though about her. She's brought some things to me. Now I'm gonna say this. It's not one sided because she's brought some things to me and dealt with me in a way that no other woman has ever dealt with me either though. And that's the beauty in this. It's not one-sided at all,
because
she's wonderful.
Exactly.
Huh?
Exactly. And that's because she's learning you. And so she's learning how, again, it may be a small thing. It may be, oh, he leaves his sock on the floor. But she's learning that either I'm going to be the wife that picks up his socks, or I'm going to be the wife with a basket on the side of the bed, so when he kicks his socks off, they fall over in the bed. But I'm not going to fuss about these socks, because at the end of the day, I want my man. You understand what I'm saying? So, but if you don't show her that that's how you are, she won't know it. And so out the clear, she'll think you change. No, show me who you are. This is why we are courting. I need to know who we are. I enjoy you. I really had a good time, and I hope that you got something out of this. Ivan, and you know what? Follow me on Facebook so you can. I'm on every Tuesday from 7:30 to. I've been on from 7:30 to 8:30 primarily, and it's the relationship chat. And I appreciate you for being on. Give me a call. Don't be a stranger, Ivan. Okay.
Yeah, actually, next time when I call. I got a book I'm getting ready to put out. It's called Quiet Storm: The Soul of a Black Man. I interviewed 344 black men in about 6 years, and I talk about a lot of stuff in the book.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that. You hit me up on Facebook. I'm Lynn Parrott. Hit me up, and then we'll talk
about
this. I put out Lynn Parrott, L-Y-N-N-N,
Lynn
Parrott.
Harris.
Parrott
okay.
Like the bird. Yeah, hit me up, and then I will,
said,
I look forward
you
to talking
to Lynn Harris or Ferris?
Parrott, like the
one
bird.
Oh, Lynn Parrott, okay.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad you found me on Blog Talk.
Yeah, I was
okay,
just
well, thank
through.
You.
All right.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, you be good.
Yes, ma'am. You too.
Okay, so that was good. We went over a few minutes, but I'm glad that he was scrolling through and picked me up. This is Reflections with Lynn. I hope you guys enjoyed this topic. I still have 2481 online, but I'm going to get off of here because my show is going to be over in a few seconds. But I did want to say to you guys, don't forget to go to Amazon, order your copy of Tribulations of Love. We're working on Tribulations of Love, Book 3. And so if you don't get one, you can't get three until you get through with one. Amen, amen, descended order. I don't want you guys to miss this. But for those couples who are planning on getting married soon, I really want you to take into heart not only my book, but that Love and Respect. The book written by Dr. Emerson is a very good book. And, again, if your church has a married couple ministry, this is a very good workshop to have for them because, again, like I was having my conversation with my new friend, Ivan, that if you come to me with the highest form of love and I come to you with the highest form of respect, we can make this happen because those are the vows that God is requiring for couples in their marriage. You guys be safe. You be good. You continue to have a very good week, prosperous week. Love on somebody. Order your copy of Tribulations of Love. And I'm out of here till next week.
I just want to tell you what I think about you. Yeah. future all in your head.